You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are going through a series on spiritual gifts. And I was gone last week. Aaron came up and preached. Did an awesome job, Aaron. Thank you so much for that. And but now we want to get back to our series on spiritual gifts. And so open up your Bibles, Corinthians chapter 12. And let's pray as we do. Lord, as we come before you, as we look at your word, we realize your word is powerful. It is not the word of man. It is the word of God. And therefore, Lord, we have to approach it with a reverent heart, with open ears, with open eyes to see all the wonderful things that your Holy Spirit wants to speak to us today. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves right now. We pause and we realize that this is not a magazine, not a newspaper. No, it's the inspired Word of God. Lord, give us ears to hear what you would speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The series that we're in is spiritual gifts. This morning, I want to talk to you about developing your spiritual gifts. How many of you know what your spiritual gift is? How many are unsure? You're not quite sure what your gifts are. You're kind of wondering about that. All right. How many of you feel like you're walking in your spiritual gifts really faithfully? You just know what they are, and you're walking in them, and you're just solid on that spot. Nobody's going to raise their hand on that one because I'm like too humble to raise my hand on that. Hey, we want to get you to that spot. God wants to bring you to that spot. He wants you to know what your spiritual gifts are, to be so sure of them that when you walk in them with confidence, not confidence in your flesh, but confidence that the Spirit is with you, leading you, guiding you, using you to be this part of the body, to fulfill this role in the church, to be this kind of man or this kind of woman. That's the goal. And today, we're going to be talking about developing your spiritual gifts. Now, they're gifts. God gives them to you, but they need to be exercised and developed. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. I know if you're a parent, you know this as well as I do. I love giving good gifts to my kids. One of a father's greatest joys is to give gifts to his kids. Love giving them the gift that they really need. My son Nathan had a old car, a 25-year-old car. He's driving a Ford Crown Victoria. Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore. You know, the back seat is bigger than our living room couch. It gets about 2 miles to the gallon. And he had been saving his money for a long time to get a car. And he got a used Toyota. It's cute as can be, this little red little MR2. And he needed a little help. He had almost all of it, just need a little. As a dad, I love coming in and saying, man, buddy, I'm so proud of you. You saved all that money. I'd love to help you out a little bit with a little gift. And as dads, as parents, we love giving gifts to our kids. And we love it the most when our kids really appreciate the gift we've given and use the gift, value the gift. That's one of the joys of parenthood, is when your kids get the gift and they're like, wow, thank you so much. Now, the Bible says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more your heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to his kids? Hey, we're selfish by nature, and if we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more our heavenly Father? And may I remind you this morning, church, God wants to gift you. God loves to gift you. And his greatest joy is to see you receive that gift with total appreciation and say, Lord, thank you so much. I love it. It's what I always wanted. It fits me perfect. And now I want to go out and use the gift that you have given. That's what God's will is for us. And today we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. Hey, Jesus is a giving God. He loves to give gifts. He gives us salvation. We have all stepped in a big pile of filth called sin. And it's made us messy. It's made us polluted. It's made us disgusting. It's made us self-centered. It's made us arrogant. It's made us just prideful and selfish creatures. Selfish creatures that were raging against God. Nevertheless, God took us, even in that state, when we were enemies against God, doing all the things that He hates, He came to us and He said, I want to give you salvation. I want to cleanse you of all your filth. I want to wash away all your sins. I want to take away this separation that has taken you away from me, and I want to make you righteous. I want to give you the righteousness of my Son, Jesus Christ, and I want to restore that relationship with you. That's an incredible gift. And Jesus, even though we're against Him, goes to the cross in our place and takes the punishment of our sins. And there on the cross, He utters those words that just ought to melt our heart. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He knows our weakness. He knows our frame. He knows we're prone to wander. And He says, hey, I don't hold that against you. I'm willing to forgive you. Just bring it to me. And so we did. And we gave Him our lives. We realized His gift of salvation. We received it by faith. And wow, we're transformed. And now that we receive the gift of salvation, well, now what? What happens next? Now we've received this gift of salvation, but what are we supposed to do? Now that we've been washed, now that we've been clean, what are we supposed to do? And I know this is true. Many Christians, we spend our time being saved and being forgiven and realize that we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we spend the rest of our time just trying not to step in filth again. Well, I can't do that. Oh, no, I can't stand over. No, can't go with you there. That's off limits. And our whole life is spent just not trying to get dirty again. I want to let you know this morning, church, that is not the goal of Christianity. The goal of Christianity is not to just not sin, not to fall back into the mire. That's a futile existence. Do you know why? Because our flesh is like a pig. You can wash a pig, you can bathe the pig, you can put lipstick on the pig, you can perfume the pig, but as soon as you let the pig loose, what's going to happen? Right back to the mud. I don't care how nice a shirt you put on the pig, guess where the pig wants to go? Right back to the mud. And you know what? We have a sin nature. And you can live your life trying not to get dirty, but if that's all that's filling your life, it's only a matter of time before you run right back to the mud you were cleansed from. And there's got to be something more. Life has to be more than just what we're not supposed to do. Life is supposed to be, well, about what we were created to do. Do you know what you were created to do? You were created to walk with God. You were created to have fellowship with God. You were created to live a new life, to be a builder of His kingdom, to be a steward of all the gifts that God has given you. You were created to be on the offense, not on the defense. And living the Christian life on the defense is no fun. But I tell you what, when you start to realize the spiritual gifts that God has given you, you will no longer be living on the defense. You will now be a builder of God's kingdom. You will now be stepping out in faith and being used by God. And it is then that life becomes just amazingly rich. And that's what God has created you for. That's what why He builds the church. He wants to pour all these gifts on you so that you can drive around and do the work in your brand new car, not this old clunker, this brand new car, that you can be effective in building His kingdom. Now, don't leave here going and saying, God wants to give me a new car. That's not what I said. God wants to give you gifts so that you're living a new life. That's what I said. And it's exciting when that begins to happen. I want you to know, without spiritual gifts, the best that we can do is be against things. And if we were real honest, what do most of the world, how do they look at the church? Oh, well, they're against all this stuff. They're against, you know, drinking. They're against homosexuality. They're against premarital sex. They're against R-rated movies, and they're against abortion, and they're against, and they just know what we're against. Do you know why? Because I think in a large part, the church has ignored their spiritual gifts. We have two camps in the church. We have the church that is just all about spiritual gifts, and they worship spiritual gifts, and they're fake. They're counterfeit gifts, and we've talked about those in previous weeks. But on the other end of the pendulum, is it any worse to just ignore the spiritual gifts? Excuse me, is it any better? It's no better. We don't want to be, you know, on either end of the spectrum. We want to be in the middle. We want to understand what God had in mind when he gifted the church. And so today, I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about building and growing in the gifts that God has given you. And instead of being against things, we're going to be for things. Instead of saying drugs and alcohol are bad, we're going to be able to say, hey, look, we've got a better high for you. Something that isn't going to leave you barfing in a toilet, waking up tomorrow going, oh my gosh, what did I do? Something that isn't going to leave you with a DUI or a worse off life. The scripture says, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation, which leads to destruction. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which leads to edification, which God will just use to do incredible things in your life. And so it's not we just want to be against something. We want to be for something. We don't want to just be against abortion. We want to be able to be so gifted that we're telling young girls, hey, this is who you are in Christ. This is your value in God's eyes. I know the world says that all that matters is how sexy you are, but this is what the truth is. And now they don't have a desire to go out and, no, now they can wait for their husband and now they can be what God called them to be. And it's one thing to say we're against this and this. It's quite another to be so gifted that you're now pouring into lives and building lives. That's what we want the church to be. That's what God wants the church to be. And that's what he has in mind when he gives us spiritual gifts. Jesus has called you to be a builder of the kingdom. Your life has great purpose. And Jesus gives us spiritual gifts to equip us for that work. Here's the question, church, and just answer honestly to yourself. Are you using your spiritual gifts? Are you walking in them? Do you know what they are? And are you experiencing the fullness of God's presence in your life through those gifts? And if you don't answer yes to all of those, I really want you to tune in. I really want you to get your mind in. I really want you to open your heart because I believe, as sure as I am standing here, this is God's specific will for your life. To gift you so that you might experience the fullness of all that he has for you. Let's review chapter 12. We'll review the first 11 verses. We already covered them, so I'm going to skim them quickly. But because we weren't in this topic last week, we'll jump back in and have a quick review. Verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Or on the positive side, I want you to be wise. I want you to know God's will for your life on spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles, verse 2, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Yeah, that's not a real compliment for the Corinthian church. Hey, you guys were Gentiles. You were carried away to all the different things you used to pursue. What you used to be carried away by? Well, I was really into golf. I thought the golf was living. I thought surfing was living. I thought getting high was living. I thought making a lot of money was... Wait, what carried you away? All of us were carried away by things. And Jesus came along and he rescued from that. He says, hey, you know you used to be carried away by these things. Now you're not. Verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We covered that verse in detail in previous weeks. I'm not going to do it now. But hey, know this, spiritual gifts are for those who say that Jesus is Lord. And not who just mouth the words, but those whose life models that Jesus is Lord. And again, I'm not going to go into that in depth. If you want to know deep more on that, you can get the sermons that are online. By the way, all our messages are free online. You can download them anytime. Verse 4, he gets into some of the gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Again, just to review, we covered this, but a couple things I want you to see there. There's Spirit, Lord, and God. the Trinity, the triune God, all of them gift givers. God the Father loves to give you good gifts. Jesus the Son loves to give good gifts. The Holy Spirit loves to give good gifts. You have a giving God who loves to give good gifts to you. And notice what it says. Look at the first one. There's diversities, verse 4, of gifts. Yeah, there's all kinds of spiritual gifts, and we went into those in previous weeks. There's leadership. There, maybe you have the gift of administration. You just love putting, you know, organizing things. There's the gift of encouragement. There's the gift of giving. All kinds of gifts that God gives. There's gifts of teaching, gifts of helping, gift of serving. All different kinds of gifts. And very diverse. Not only is there diversities of gifts, but look at verse 5. There's diversities of ministries. In other words, a lot of different ways you can take that gift and use it. Well, you may have the gift of hospitality and you may use it in this way. Someone else may have the gift of hospitality and they use it in this way. Tremendous diversity in the ministries. I want you to consider just all the diversity in the ministries here in our small, young, little church. We have a children's ministry. We have a youth ministry, junior high. We have a high school ministry. We have a college and career ministry. We have a mission group ministry. You can be a leader in the mission group ministry. You can be an assistant. You can be a host. You can open up your home and just... We have a hospitality ministry. We have a welcome ministry. We have a brand new ministry that we want to get started. We're doing hospital visitations. I have it on my heart. I would love to see us be doing a ministry to... The retirement home that's right down the street. I went there a couple of weeks ago and went in and I was visiting someone and ended up spending about an hour and a half in there just going bed to bed, different rooms. Those people just need the love of Jesus Christ. They're neglected. I did some research. Do you realize that 60% of people in retirement homes never receive a visitor? How lonely do you think that is? And church, we have all the gifts. We could go there and we could make a difference. There's diversities of ministries, lots of ways you can use the gifts God has given you. Look at verse 6. There's diversities of activities, a lot of different ways you can use the gifts. But it's the same God who gives all. Verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of who? All. Here's what it doesn't say. The manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation of these gifts is given to each one for the profit of me. God gives me spiritual gifts to benefit me. Put your name there. No, it's not for you. Who's it for? It's for all. It's for everyone else. In other words, it's kind of like this. It's like Christmas morning, Jesus style. Do you know what that would be? Oh, here's a gift for you to use on your husband. Oh, here's a gift for you to use on your children. Oh, here's a gift for you to use in your community. You see, the gifts that God gives, they're not for your glory. Guess who they're for? They're for everybody else. Therefore, if you're not using your gift, guess who you're robbing? Everybody else. You're robbing everybody else because the gifts God gives, look at verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit, or in other words, the spiritual gifts that God gives is given to each one. Pay attention. Every single one of you has a spiritual gift and it's given for the profit of all. That's the purpose. Look at verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And this isn't an exhaustive list. In the previous weeks, we went over each one of those individually and explained in detail what they meant. We're not going to do that today. But this is just a small sampling of all the gifts that God has. And there's a ton. There's no end to the gifts that God has. But look at this, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God gave you the gifts that were perfect for you. God gave you spiritual gifts that were just right for how he created you. God knows your DNA. He made your DNA. He knows what you love. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows what you are passionate about. And he gifted you perfectly for your makeup. And that is why when we begin to walk in our gifts, life becomes the fullest, the richest, because we begin to step into the very thing that we were created for, to be in ministry together with our Heavenly Father, with our Savior Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit that is working in and through us to do the work that he's called us to do. Let me tell you, church, that is what it's all about. And when we walk in that, it is just awesome. God has given every one of you the perfect gift that he wants you to have. It's a perfect fit. And maybe this morning you're saying, well, what are my gifts? I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. If you were one of the many that raised your hand, I'm so glad you're here this morning. Maybe you're saying, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. What are they? How do I find out what my gifts are? Here's what I want you to consider. What are your gifts? What are your desires? What are your passions? I would encourage you to examine your intrinsic desires. I don't mean your selfish desires. I mean your intrinsic desires. Examine them and say, what do I really love? What really moves me? Where do you have a passion to serve? What do you have a burden to do? Whose needs do you love to meet? If God gave you a blank check right now and said, hey, man, you can write this out for anything you want, and not money, but anything you want in life, what would you want in life? How would you write that check? When I got saved, I just had this burning passion. I needed to know God's word. He gave me this hunger to know God's word. And along with that hunger, he gave me a real desire to tell people about God's word. I was a brand new Christian. I thought, this is weird. Where did this come from? I just can't seem to get enough of this book. And it was how God gifted me. God gifts each one individually as he wills, because he knows how he made you. Let me ask you, church, what does the bumblebee, what does the bee like to do? To the bumblebee, what is life? Man, it just loves crawling deep into a flower, getting that nectar all over its body. I was watching this bee in my backyard, and it was just going in. It was like it was on drugs. It was just like going in there. It was like, oh, climbing into this little flower. And it was just covered. You could see that yellow nectar all over it. And then it buzzed off somewhere, probably went back to the hive and made honey. And here's, let me tell you something. You know what that bee is doing? Exactly what it loves. Why? Because that's how your creator works. What does the hawk love to do? Oh, man, it just loves to soar. It just loves to soar, catch thermals, not flap its wings, and make me go, how do you do that? And there it is, man. They're flying along, and it's just amazing. And then it sees a little rat down there on the ground and pulls its wings back, and it's what it loves to do. Why? God knew we needed rats cleaned up. Praise the Lord. Here's my point. Do you get my point? Does that make sense? God created you with some intrinsic desires. Some of you are just like, man, I just love, and you fill in the blank. I just love inviting people into my home and blessing people. Well, you have the gift of hospitality. Some of you are like, man, I just love Microsoft Excel. You have the gift of administration. You're happier when you got a spreadsheet in front of you than when anything else. I mean, that's your gift. Use it for the glory of God. You see, what is that bee doing when it crawls in that flower and it goes back to the hive and it makes honey, and I put that honey on my breakfast table? I go, man, God, this is amazing. And I look at that bee and I go, God, this is amazing. Do you know what it is? It's revealing what? The glory of God. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky shows his handiwork. Day into day, they're uttering speech. Night into night, they're revealing knowledge. And there isn't a person on the earth who hasn't heard their words. Slight paraphrase. Very slight. In other words, the bumblebee is glorifying God, but it can't know God. The hawk is glorifying God, but it can't know God. It's just doing what it was created to do. Now you, when you do what God created you to do, guess what you're going to do? You're going to glorify God in the same way. Here's the difference. You know God. And you'll be able to reveal His person. You'll be able to reveal His attributes. You'll be able to reveal His character. That's God's will for us. And that's why He gave us spiritual gifts. I would encourage you, hey, are you wondering what your spiritual gifts are? What are your passions? What are your intrinsic passions? Examine them. Here's what the Scripture says. Look at Psalm 37, I believe it is. Let me hear you read this, church. Read it out loud, the whole church together, all at once. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That is exactly what we're talking about right now. Delight yourself in the ways of the Lord. Lord, I just love your ways. I love that you give me salvation as a free gift. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to claw for it. I don't have to go to Mecca. I don't have to go up crawl on cut glass and perform enough karma. I just come to you and say, I'm a mess, Lord. Will you please clean me up? And every time I sin, I don't have to earn my way back. I just come to you and say, Jesus, I need to get washed, man. Will you wash me with the blood of Jesus? Will you wash me and take away my... I love that about God. And here's what He says. Delight yourself in me. Know my ways. Delight yourself in my ways. And what will I do? What does He say He'll do? I will give you the desires of your heart. What if instead of knowing what we're against and what we stand against, what if we just started doing what we were really passionate about? What if the desires of your heart were the right desires? How good would that be? Guess how much beer I've drinking in my life? All I want. You know why? Because I don't want any. I don't want to get high on pot. I don't want to get high on beer. I don't want to go around doing all the... I want to live for Jesus. You know why? Because I've delighted myself in God's ways. And guess what He's done for me? He's given me the desires of my heart. And the desires that are in my heart are good desires. I'm not saying I don't ever struggle with sin. Temptation's there. But the desires of my heart, oh man, I want to live for Jesus. And that's the promise that He gives to us. And let me just ask you, you who don't know your spiritual gifts, what are the desires of your heart? Well, they're not very good. Well, then, are you delighting in Jesus Christ? Delight yourself in the ways of the Lord, and here's what I promise will happen. He will give you desires that are going to be a perfect match for what your spiritual gifts are. And you're going to be doing what you love to do. Nobody makes me get up here and preach. Last week I was here, I was listening to Aaron, I was cheering him on, but I was going, man, I can't wait to get up in the pulpit again next week. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. This is my joy. And why? Because that's my gift. And whatever your gift is, you're going to love to do. Without spiritual gifts, the best we can hope to be is against things. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. But I tell you what, man, the moment we start walking in our spiritual gifts, we are going to be people who give life. We're going to be people who know how to build instead of what you can't do. There's a couple college gals in the church. Aviana and Laurel. And I am so proud of these two girls. I've watched them come to Christ. I've watched them get on fire. I've watched them just be all in. And they heard the announcement about birth choice just a month or two ago. And Sherry Aguilera is one of the leaders down there. And they heard that. And they've been going to meetings. They've been getting trained. And guess what they're going to be? They're going to be pouring life into young girls who come in who are pregnant. And they're going to give them direction. They're going to give them guidance. And instead of just being against abortion, they're going to be giving life. They're going to be giving the life of Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of them. When God begins to move in your life, you just want to do those things. And I want to encourage you this morning, step out and start experimenting with some of the passions that God has given you. I want you to consider, hey, What do you like to do? What are you good at? What acts of service give you the deepest sense of satisfaction? What have other godly people affirmed in you? What are they, what have they told you? Hey man, I see that in you. I see you have this. I want you to know that might be the picture, that might be the leading of what the spiritual gifts in your life are. And I want to encourage you to walk in them. I want you to know, sometimes people don't see those gifts right away in us. Sometimes it takes time. King David, by example, he was anointed to be the next king of Israel, right? How long did it take for that to actually happen? It took some time. And when he was anointed the next king, what did his brothers think of him? Yeah, right. And they gave him noogies and they beat him up and they wrestled him and they gave him a hard time. Moses, same kind of thing. He knew he had a calling on his life. He could feel it. And what he wanted more than anything was to take these Jews that were in hard slavery and to release them. But nobody else recognized that about him in the beginning. It took time. And so sometimes people will affirm these gifts in your life and they'll see it right on the onset. If they don't, what I'm trying to say is, don't give up. Still walk in it, because sometimes those gifts take time. I know that when I got saved, my wife and I were married before we got saved. Don't recommend that, by the way. But neither of us were Christians when we got married. And I got saved first. And a little while later, my wife got saved. And I felt a calling on my life to be a pastor. And I remember telling my wife, you know, I'm a young Christian. Hey, I think God's calling me to be a pastor. You know what my wife said? Yeah, right. I don't think so. And she didn't see that gift in my life. Hey, Ryan, can you do me a favor? Can you find Irmel and see if you can turn that air on? Are you guys hot? See if we can get that air going, Ryan. She didn't see that gift in my life. It wasn't clearly evident. But over time, she began to see it, and it began to manifest. And then she began, and now she's my greatest supporter, but I'm thankful. So in looking for your spiritual gifts, look in your heart. What are you passionate about? Now, I want to give you four ways to develop your spiritual gifts. Four ways to begin to grow them. And the first one is this. I wish it was more profound, but this is how God does things. The first one is simply this. Step out in faith and use your gift. Step out in faith. Step out in faith and use your gift. Here's why. Because without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please God. I don't care what your gift is. I don't care if you're Moses and God has a calling on your life. Here's what you have to do, even if you're Moses. I hope this works. You have to take that first step. You have to take that step of faith that says, man, I'm going to step out. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, he preaches his first sermon. Do you think he knew 3,000 people were going to get saved? He had no idea. He had no idea, but he stepped out in faith, and here's what happened. God says, yes, I put that gift on your life, and I've wanted you to step out in faith. I've been waiting for you to step out in faith. I want you to live by faith. Faith pleases me, and now that you're stepping out in faith, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour into you. And so we have to step out in faith. Now, we don't like that. Faith isn't comfortable for us. I'd rather step out in safety. But you can't step out in safety. You got to step out in faith and watch God use it in your life. Maybe you don't know what your spiritual gifts are. I want to encourage you, step out in faith to discover them. When I stepped out in faith, I started teaching a Bible study in my home. I had a mission group in my home. Let me tell you something. It wasn't very good. But you know what happened? In spite of me, God used it. People started coming. People started growing. The group started growing. People started getting a passion to live for Jesus Christ. People started getting saved. Next thing I knew, I thought, oh my gosh, I better study. I got to do a better job at this thing. And I know that God began to pour more into me because I was just making a mess of everything he gave me so far. I better give that guy more. He's not going to make it. Step out in faith and God will use you. Step out in faith and serve. See what God does. Here's what I would encourage. You have an area, well, I think I might be gifted in this. I'm not sure. But I kind of have a passion for this. I'm not sure. Here's what I would encourage you. Pray it up. Bring it before God. God, I just want to serve you this way. And then step out in faith and see what God does. I promise you that God will use it. God will use it. And if he does use it, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start investing in that gift he's given you. I want you to start developing it. I want you to start growing it. And if by chance it doesn't work, it doesn't, you know, you start off and it's just not really a right fit, don't give up. Maybe that's just not your gift. Step out in faith in another area and see what God does for you. It's kind of a trial and error kind of thing. Today after church, as you go out to lunch, we'll have tables out there. There's a ton of things you can sign up for. I wrote some of them down. You can sign up for to help in children's ministry. Maybe you have the gift of teaching. You should be teaching. Teach in children's ministry. Teach a mission group. Teach in the youth ministry. Get something going so you can start to develop that gift. Maybe college and career. Maybe you want to host a mission group in your house. Maybe you want to be an assistant. You want to get raised up. You want someone to kind of put their arm alongside of you and say, hey, come along and we'll help you in this. Hey, that's what the church is for, but use your gifts. I guess we got cheap air conditioning today. Instead of air conditioning, we just got the doors open in the back. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality. Sign up for welcome ministry. Maybe you want to be an usher, a greeter. There's a million different ways you can serve in the church. You know one thing that I'm really looking for, I've really been praying about? We had a couple that I thought were going to do this. I was meeting together with them regularly. I really want to see our church start. Excuse me. I'm so excited. I'm putting words together. I want to see our church start a recovery ministry. Why? Because the world is going after drugs like we have never seen before. You think drugs were bad when you were in school? Oh my gosh. There has been a 600% increase in the last 10 years of the quantity of prescription drugs that drug makers are making. I should have brought the stats. I didn't bring them. I did the research this week. It is staggering the amount of drugs we are producing as a country. I think this is right. I'm just going off of memory. There are so many prescription drugs in California, painkillers, just in California, that there are enough prescription drugs in California to medicate the entire nation 24/7 for 30 days. Just in California. Hey, we have a pandemic in our streets. We can't turn a blind eye. You know what this church needs to have? It needs to have a recovery ministry to help people get back on the right track. Maybe you have life experience in that. I want to talk to you. I want to know you. Maybe your passion is to bring people out of that and to work the 12 steps. I want to know you. You see, the church body should be glorious. It's made up of many different parts. It should be a glorious body, able to meet every single need there is. What kind of body does a slug have? Yeah, like a snail, a slug. What kind of body does a slug have? Yeah, it can't do much. It's not a very good body. If a dog wants to say hi to you, it can say hi to you. It can run up to the door. It can wag its tail. It can tell you, I'm happy to see you. What can a slug do? It can't do anything. It can't wave high. It can't help you. It can't do anything but leave a little slimy trail. Not a very good body. Here's my point. What kind of body should the church have? Church should have an amazing body. Able to do anything. Able to wave high. Able to say, I can help you. Able to pull you up. Able to be attractive and say, that's what I need. And that happens by all of us coming together with our spiritual gifts and using them to the glory of God. I tell you, one of the reasons that we fail to recognize our spiritual gifts is because oftentimes they seem innate to us. Do you know what I mean by that? They just seem like, well, man, anybody can do this. They just seem innate to us. Maybe you say, well, man, I'm just praying for people. I mean, it's no big deal. I'm praying for anybody can do that. Yeah, anybody can do that, but here's the truth. Not everybody does that faithfully. And if you're faithful in prayer, here's what I know about you. You have a spiritual gift of prayer. And you ought to be part of the prayer team. You ought to be letting the rest of the church know you have that gift so we can turn to you. I have some people that I know are prayer warriors. And guess what, man? I use them all the time. I come to them and say, look, I need you to pray for me because I know that you have this gift. And if your gift seems innate to you, don't think it's not a spiritual gift. I'm just setting up coffee and donuts. Hey, you have the gift of hospitality. Realize that about yourself. I'm just trying to encourage the guy. It's no real big deal. I'm just trying. Hey, you have the gift of encouragement. Use that gift. And just because your gift seems innate, don't think it's not important. It's important. Here's what I've learned about us. We often don't value the gifts we have, and we want the gifts that somebody else has. You ever find yourself that way? Man, I wish I could teach like them. I've said that. Wow, I wish I could have the Bible knowledge that person has. I wish I had the hospitality that. I wish I had the charisma that. We often value the gifts that other people have, and we dismiss the gifts that God has given us. I want to encourage you, don't do that. Here's the second point I want to bring out to you in the four ways to develop your gifts. Number one, step out in faith. Number two, value your gifts. Value your gifts. Realize that they're important. Realize that what comes natural to you is an ability that's been given to you from God. And don't assume that just because it comes natural, it's not valuable. It is. It's important. Your gift plays an important role in the body. Look at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Yeah, I want to unpack that a little bit. As the body, what body is he talking about? He's actually talking about a human body. As a human body is one. We all have one body. But what does your body have? It says it has many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. Or in other words, so also is what? The church. Or so also is Christianity. It's made up a lot of different body parts, and yet it's one body. Verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. What does that mean? We're going to have a baptism coming up on the 25th, Thursday night. Is that what he's talking about? No, that's not what he's talking about. Yeah, there's water baptism, which is a picture of the death of the old life, the birth of the new life. That's not what he's talking about. Here's what he's talking about. Baptism here, he says, look what he says. We're all baptized into one body. The word means submerged, baptized us. We've all been submerged into one body. Here's what he means. When you became a Christian, you became part of one body. What body are you a part of? This body right here. You are now a member of this one body right here. And you're a body part in this body. And that's what he's going to go on and build. You've been baptized into one body. You've been a member of one body. It doesn't matter if you were a Jew or a Greek. If you were a slave or if you were free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. In other words, some of you come from a religious background. You went to a Christian school. You grew up in a Christian home. Everything about you has been faith, 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 faith. And you're part of the body. Some of you were just in a wild house. Parents married five times, parties every single weekend. You were voted in high school, most likely to be in prison. And guess what you are? You got saved and you are part of the body. Some of you are from Rancho Santa Fe and you just 20s blow out of your pocket. You don't even know it. Part of you are homeless and you don't know where you're going to get your next meal. Guess what you all are? Part of the body. And God calls great diversity to be part of this one body. Look at verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, oh man, wish I was a hand. I hate getting crammed in a shoe every single day. These socks are so sweaty. I hate being a foot. Wish I was a hand. Since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. No, that's not what it says. Is it therefore not part of the body? No, it's definitely part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? No, it is. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Let me ask you, how attractive would the body be if the whole body were an eye? You got just one big eyeball walking around. Slithering everywhere it goes. Doesn't walk anywhere, it rolls. Can't see very well because it's like... That would be messed up. That would be dysfunctional. And God says, no, no, no. Many different parts of the body, all for a purpose. No big cyclops going around. If the whole body were an eye, verse 17, where would the hearing be? If the whole were the hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body. There's that word again. Second time he said it. Just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? If we were all just an eye, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And it's an attractive body. It's able, it's capable of doing all, you know, just incredible things. The body, our human body, this analogy that Paul is using from, what an amazing creature we are. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know that about yourself? Do you know how complex your body is? There is no way all this could evolve. Not only, I mean, how could this evolve? We have two sexes. Both sexes would have to evolve at the exact same. What, I mean, there's no way. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You have 78 organs in your human body. 78 organs. You have over 700 muscles. You have over 100 billion neurons in your brain. You have over 10,000 taste buds in your mouth. So many different parts in your body. You have 12 million olfactory receptors in your nose. Just in your nose, 12 million parts. That's a lot of parts. Where do they go when you blow your nose? Hang on tight. That's a lot of parts. You have 17,000 tactile receptors in your hand. Here's my point. One body, many parts, and so is the church. And God has gifted you individually with each your own gifts for a specific purpose. I want you to value your role in the church. Don't come and say, oh, I'm just setting up the stage. Doesn't really matter if I'm there or not. No, it does matter. You play an important role. And if you didn't set up the stage, what would we do? Well, I just go out and I tell people about Jesus here and there, but I don't really do. No, that's an important thing. You're just an attractor to people. I look at Kevin, man. Kevin, he brings people to church all the time. Guys just love being around Kevin. He just has that gift. Important part in the body. And it's important that we don't minimize our role, value our role. Doesn't matter if I show up or not. Hey, it does matter. I want you to know that is deception from the enemy. And you know who it's catering to? You know what that deception is trying to please? It's trying to please your pride. They don't appreciate you. You're not valuable enough. What you do, hey, remember this. Your spiritual gift isn't about who? It's not about you. It's about God using you for the church. You're important to this church. I want you to know that. Serve in your role. Perform your function. And you and the body will thrive and grow. And I just want to take a sidebar just for a moment. If you're church hopping, if you're going from place to place to place to place, can I just tell you something? Stop that. Stop it. You're not going to get more out of four churches than you are out of one. Yeah, I know that, you know, if you're church hopping, it's kind of, you know, somewhat selfish. Because I like this here, I like this here. But here's what you're robbing yourself. Because God is going to pour into you when you start pouring into others. God is not going to pour into you when you're trying to get all you can from all these different spots. God is going to pour into you when you say, this is where I belong, this is my body, this is where I'm going to serve, this is where I'm going to use my gifts, this is where I'm going to give myself. God's going to say, now I can use you, and now I'll pour into you, and now I'll bless you exceedingly. Invest in the body. Be part of the body. Commit to it, and watch God do great things through you. Don't be a consumer. You're just robbing yourself. Jesus pours into those who are using what he's given them. Use your gifts, which brings us to the third point. Use your gifts to edify others and to glorify Jesus Christ. Use your gifts to edify others and to glorify Jesus Christ. And when you do that, as I already said, watch God pour into you. Why? Because it's not about you. When you start using your gift, not for what you can get out of it, not just because, I want to be the amazing one. I want to sing in the worship team. Why do you want to sing on the worship team? So people can know what a good singer I am. Sorry, we don't want you on the worship team. But When you want to sing on the worship team because you love praising Jesus Christ and you want to lead the congregation, you want to help me get there, now we want you on the worship team. And I want you to know something, church. When we begin to realize that the gifts aren't about us, it is so incredibly freeing. It is so incredibly rewarding because now we don't go home going, did I do good today? Did everybody like me? Was I appreciated? Am I important? Yeah, when we can finally let that go and realize it's not for edifying me. It's not about me. It's for edifying the church body. It's for glorifying Jesus Christ. Guess what? It's incredibly freeing. And something happens when we grow to the point of maturity, when we can get ourselves out of the way, that God says, wow, now that yourself is out of the way, I can really use you powerfully. I can really use you for my glory. Do you think the bumblebee, when he goes into that flower and he gets all the pollen out of it, he goes around going, hey, everybody, look how much pollen I have on my back. Look how much I'm carrying. Look what an amazing bee I am. Nope. He's just doing what he loves to do, and it's all to the glory of God. And it needs to be the same way in our lives. Life is incredibly rewarding when that happens. And when we realize it's not about self, it's for the glory of Jesus Christ, it's to edify the church body, something mystical happens. Man, God just pours into us twice as much. Jesus said it this way. You repeat this with me. It's better to give than to receive. Yeah, you know this. Let's say it out loud together. It's better to give than to receive. Now, here's what I want to ask you. How good is it to receive? Oh, receiving's good. I love receiving. When my wife wants to bless me, I thank you, baby. I love it. I love receiving. He doesn't say it's bad to receive. Here's what he says. It's better. As good as receiving is, it's even better to give. And that's something that you can only walk in by faith. But if you've tasted it, you just know it's true. It's just amazing. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about his glory. I need to move us on, or we're never going to get to point four. Maybe you are only serving yourself. Maybe you're not serving in the church. Man, I want to encourage you, step out in faith and start serving others and watch God bless you. Watch him pour into you. I want you to just today, you know, before you leave church, pray and say, God, I want to start serving other people. I want to bless someone else. I want you to start using my life. I want you to know God will hear that prayer because God wants to use you. It's what you were created for. And if he can get you to get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes onto glorifying Jesus, serving others, you're just going to find out, man, life gets full of joy. It just does. I don't know how it works. I can't explain. I can only tell you, taste and see the Lord is good. I tell you, nothing will destroy the good work that God is doing in your life faster than when you start making it all about you. God just shuts the spigot off. You remember Samson? You remember the story of Samson? Samson and Delilah? You remember the story? Samson lived a sanctified life. He was set apart for God. Something happened along the way. He lived a sanctified life, set apart for God, and God said, I'm going to do something with a guy who's set apart for me. And what did God give him? What spiritual gift did he give him? Supernatural, divine, superhuman, God-type strength. And he just poured it into him without measure, just tons of strength. Something happened in Samson's life. What did Samson start doing? How did he use that strength? Who did he use it for? It was all about him. He started showboating with his strength. He started getting girls with his strength. He started winning bets with his strength. And it became all about him. And guess what happened? God gave him incredible grace, more than I would have. But eventually, God pulled back. And he ended up blind and going around the grinding mill like an animal. A slave, a blind slave, going around, treading out the grain like an animal. A picture. The picture is this. If you will set your life apart for me, God says, I'll pour supernatural abilities into your life. But the moment you start using them for you, you'll be blind, a slave, living like an animal. Tragic when a person that God has used powerfully falls. Just tragic. That's what was happening in Corinth. Those who were speaking in tongues thought, you know, it was a gift they had, and now they thought they were more spiritual than everybody else, and it just messed up everything. Now they started getting groups. Hey, we're the more spiritual groups. And again, using it for themselves. Let me leave you with this last one. The fourth way to develop your spiritual gift. Number one, step out in faith. Number two, value your gifts. Number three, use your spiritual gifts to serve others. And number four, exercise your spiritual gift. Let's see where it says. It's verse 21. We'll wrap up the chapter with this. Where'd we leave off? Where at? We'll just pick up in 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head can say to the feet, I have no need of you. Yeah, that's what happens when you start thinking your gift is about you. You start thinking you're amazing. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker, they're necessary. They're more important. And the members of the body that we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. Hey, part of, you know, today, even today, you have a body part that you don't find too honorable. Maybe for you, it's a big hairy wart. Maybe for you, it's a stretch mark. Maybe for you, yeah, what do? We do all that we can to honor that, man. We hide it, we trim it, we put makeup on it. We do whatever we can to cover that weaker spot. And that's what Paul's telling us needs to be happening in the church body. We cover it. Verse 24, our presentable parts have no need, but God composed our body in such a way that we give greater honor, or in other words, we give greater care to the part that lacks it. We have a weak part in the body. Yeah, we want to shore that up. We want to make it look better. We want to help it all we can. Why? Verse 25, so that there would be no schism. There would be no division. There would be no groups. There would be no factions in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, we all suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Hey, if you have a hurt leg, you know what you do? You get a crutch and you put it in your arm, and the arm takes the burden of what? Of your leg, because you care for your body. And he says that's what it needs to be like in the church. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, supporting each other, encouraging each other, holding each other up. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. And he goes off and he rattles off a bunch of different gifts. Verse 31, now, earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Yeah, that's our fourth point. Earnestly desire the gifts that God has given you and exercise them. Earnestly desire them to be at work in your life. Earnestly desire to be used by God like he wants you to be used. Earnestly desire to be passionate about your spiritual gifts. Stir up your gift. Hey, do you have the gift of intercessory prayer? Stir it up. Take it to the next level. Start keeping a prayer journal. Start tracking it. Start taking it seriously. Why? Because that's your gift. God's given it to you. Do you have the gift of encouragement? Take it seriously. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I know you've given me this gift. I want to use it today. And I got this guy at work. His name's Phil, and I know he's going through a hard time right now. Lord, help me to come into his life. Speak some words of encouragement to him that might help him see just how great you are. Stir up the gift that God has given you. Use it. You know, exercise it. Make it grow in it. Become all that God has called you to be in it. One last verse on your screens. It's in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy, excuse me. Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy was the pastor in Ephesus, obviously a gifted young man. Here's what Paul tells him. Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. What does that tell me about our gifts? Yeah, they're gifts. Yeah, they're there, but they need to be what? They need to be exercised. They need to be stirred up. They need to be used. And if you don't use it, it'll become dormant in your life. Stir up the gifts. Many diverse functions, many different roles in the body. Here, let me ask you, church, what role do you play? Are you serving? Are you serving in your role? Or are you saying, I'll let the rest of the body carry me? I want you to grow in your spiritual gifts. And when you use your spiritual gift, I just want you to know, boy, God will pour more and more and more into you. We'll pick up more on our spiritual gift series next week. I want you to read ahead. Chapter 13, it's all about love. Important chapter, one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. We're going to look at how the fuel or the octane or the lubricant or the oil or whatever you want to call it that allows all these gifts to begin to work. So read ahead and we'll jump in next week. Why don't you stand with me? Let's pray.
You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.